Oh yeah, we did the subtitle, so we are in the movie. to begin, maybe it's an obvious question, but why did you choose to do a movie on Septis? And how did you come to know the particular story of Tom and Nicola?
I knew Nicola.
Okay.
I worked in a studio in the middle of England in Leicestershire. And Nicola worked in the same studio, so we weren't friends, but we were in the studio at the same time. And I was aware that she had this guy that was coming out from London, and they were going to get married. And so, but I didn't think anything of it. And then later on, some friends, a mutual friend, said, "Did you hear what happened to Tom Ray?" And I said. And they told me that he'd had this terrible thing had happened to him, and they said that they were raising some money for to get him some electronic arms and to make their life easier because they were very poor. And so by that time I was working in London, and I had I wrote to some friends and said we need to help this guy and raise some money. And one of my friends organized a dinner, a charity dinner for them. And my wife and I took Nicola to the charity dinner. And that is where she made the speech that I use, she made a speech that we used in the film.
Yeah.
And at that time, it was such a moving speech. I thought, and I looked around and I saw that everybody was, you know, captivated by this speech and how moving it was. And so that was the beginning of my thoughts that perhaps I should film it or film something like it. And then a couple of years after that, I had coffee with her one day, and she took me and introduced me to Tom, whom I'd never met. And I got to know him and realized that he was a very, very intelligent man. They had the two children. And so I said to them, you know, maybe I could make a film of this some way. And so first I just spent 2 years interviewing them and interviewing all the other people who are in the film on just a camcorder to interview them to find out the whole story and how it all worked. And then I eventually decided it would be better as a cinema film rather than a documentary, because as a documentary it was interesting, but what I wanted to do was explore their minds and their personalities and perhaps do things that were interpreted rather than actual. And so, and they agreed that that would be acceptable, that they would be happy for me to do that. By that time we'd become quite good friends.
Mm-hmm.
So they were comfortable with me taking their story and turning it into a cinema film rather than a documentary. And I'm really glad I did that, because I think it is much more powerful.
Yeah.
And I could go to places that I couldn't go with a documentary.
How did you choose Tom Riley and Joanne Froggatt to embody those two persons?
I have one of my producers is Ros Hubbard, who is a fantastic casting director. Hubbard Casting is an amazing company. They cast Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, all the Bourne films. They're very successful. And I've known Ros for a long time. And Ros suggested that we send Joanne the script. And we did. And she rang me and said, "This is fantastic, and I really want to do this." And this was a long time ago. And I said, "Well, we should maybe do a test and see how we work together, and if we're all on the same page." And so we shot a scene together, and Joe really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it, and so we who decided that she would become an executive producer. And she wanted to help raise money for it. And so she came. And then later on, Tom Riley was suggested to me, and I watched some of his early work. And he's pretty successful in America. He's very successful in America. But I liked some of the early work he did, where he explores dark characters and dark personalities. And so I met him, and I thought he's a really powerful actor, and I liked to work with him. And so that was, how that came about. I mean, we talked to other people, but really, Joe was always first choice for Nicola. And
yeah.
Tom,
really
when
good.
I met him, I thought he was, I think Tom's fantastic in it, really fantastic. Yeah, particularly because it's such a physically demanding role.
Yeah.
And he needed to be really fit to play somebody who is disabled,
yeah.
You know.
Right.
Especially with all the prosthetics, because he was up early every day.
It took time to do the makeup? Or?
Yeah, he used to be in makeup every morning at about 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And then, we'd start shooting at about, call time was usually 7:30. He'd usually be on set by about 8:00. And then he'd be in makeup all day. And then, and that's really hard work, with all the prosthetics. And then also with the green screen arms and the green screen legs. So everything had to be done. All of the shots where he is in it, we had to do plate shots and we had to do camera moves, and it's quite physically demanding.
And did Tom and Nicola contribute at all in the movie?
Oh yeah, a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, Nicola worked for the art department, and so she was painting, and because she has a film background, so she knows, and she wanted to work for the art department. She worked for David Bryan, and she was painting and set building, and also, and Tom body doubled for me because I wanted to. There's quite a lot of discussion is about if you are making a film about a disabled person, you should really consider using disabled actors. Of course you should, but that was impractical. We couldn't use a disabled actor all the way through because we couldn't find one that had the level of disability that Tom had and looked like Tom and could act. So it was impossible for us to do that. But I said to Tom, when I come to do the close-ups and when I come to do certain shots, it would be great if you would do them for me. Then, then it would feel like it was part of the process. And he said yes. And then when we did the bit where you see the one shot where you see his arms and legs, he came in and he sat nearly, with just a gown on a stool. And we shot that, and we all agreed that if we are making a film about disability, we have to be brave enough to face the disability that we're making the film about. So he did that, and they both were on set to answer any technical questions. So when Joe and I were working through scenes, we had an emotional note that we wanted to work on, we would talk to Nick about how she felt at that moment of the scene we were portraying.
Were there scenes hard or complicated to shoot?
Yeah, there was this scene going up the stairs was very difficult, where she takes him up the stairs, where she holds him. It was a very difficult scene to shoot because we had to shoot the wide with Tom Riley in prosthetics and with green arms and green legs, but he is a fit man, so he was helping Joanne in the actions, but then for the close-ups, and you can see it in one or two shots where you just see the ends of the legs and the stumps, that was Tom Ray. And so, and it, that was really hard for her because the way they had Tom Ray and Nicola Ray, the way they had perfected their way of doing it was impossible for Joe to learn in a half an hour or in rehearsals. So she was having to work really hard. And so that scene took a lot of takes to get it to get enough footage to make that work and look believable. There were other scenes that were difficult. Him climbing over the wall was a difficult scene. That took a long time. It was scheduled to take a morning, and it ended up taking 3 days. I mean, not three whole days, but we kept having to go back and reshoot and reshoot.
It's because you were not satisfied with it?
It was incredibly difficult technically because there were so many people, and at the same time, we were having problems with some of the people in the location who didn't want us there. So that, you know, that can be really difficult, and you know, so we were having to, and it was, everybody was getting very, and the weather was really bad. It was about 6 below 0, and it was so cold. And then sometimes it was grey, and then other times it was really sunny. And all the time, you know, like the little girl is. And she's just in a blouse, so we were, you know, it was only, you know, we could just do a take and then wrap her up and then take her in the house and get her warm again and then come out and do another take. So it was really hard work, that scene.
About the soundtrack, how did you choose this kind of music? Did you choose to get it very emotional music, or did you?
Well, both the producer and I felt strongly that because this is a real film, we didn't want it to appear like we were trying to manipulate the audience. So we knew that we wanted a very stripped back, simple soundtrack, not big orchestral music cues that were saying, oh, this is how you have to feel now. And Pippa, my producer, had worked with Paul Saunderson, the composer, before. And so she introduced me to, we looked at three people, and she introduced me to Paul, and he played some themes, and I thought they were different enough and not obvious and not always easy that we could probably work together. And he's very young, he's a young guy, he's experienced, but he's, you know, he's a young upcoming composer, so he was easier to work with because I could just bully him and just say, I don't like this, I don't like that. So, but he worked brilliantly, and we worked together, and I'd say, I take all this out and let's just have this beautiful melody here and this little glockenspiel here. And you know, we won't make this a big boom bang film. You know, we wanted to make it so the audience would feel the music, but not be told how to feel by the music.
to go back to The Child, I was deeply touched by the scene where Grace meets her father after his surgeries and after such a long time. And I thought that the actress is very young. Was it difficult to manage her?
It wasn't very difficult. I mean, she's five. She was five when we shot it. She was a fantastic. I mean, the skills she had were, she had a big personality, really big, big personality, and she learned all the lines. She was fantastic on the lines. She used to, when I would read with her, I would forget the lines, and she would say, no. It says, you say this, and I say this, and you say that. So these were fantastic skills for a five-year-old, and she understood about feeling sad. She had lost her grandmother. Her grandmother had died, so she, I would say, you know how you felt when your grandmother died, and we would access, I mean, her parents were with us all the time. So she was very, not easy, but she was very, she was very receptive to direction. But she was also, she got bored very quickly. And once she got bored, she'd just wander off. And then, you know, she, like any five-year-old. But, she loved Tom Riley. She thought he was just the most fantastic person on the planet. So she looked at him as a friend. And so that was quite difficult because he couldn't be a father to her because she was his friend. You know? So it was all those kind of things. But really, when you look at how much of this film she's in, she was fantastic. She was really fantastic. So,
in that sequence, she was good. My tears.
It's a very moving scene. It's not. We talked about that. I talked about a lot about it, and we discussed various ways to shoot that, whether that would be the first time she would see Tom with the makeup, or whether that would be the first time, or whether we'd go boo or surprise her. And in the end, I just said, you know, let's try and act it. Let's, you know, and she and I sat down, and she understood what she had to do, and she was, you know, and she did it. It took a lot. You know, it took a lot of takes. And that was the very last one. That's kids. You get a little bit, but you have to have a really good crew who understand how to work with kids, who understand that they can't just hit the spot, hit the mark, and turn it on. You know, you have to kind of work with them and make it like a family, and everybody has to be very patient, and the atmosphere has to be right. Because if a child is, you've got a kid on set and they're frightened or it's too powerful, then they will close up and be frightened. But she, you know, she was good. She was really good.
There was another scene with a little boy. It's when Tom gets some groceries, and then when he comes back, he has this little boy who gazes at him and gets very angry. And where did you get this this idea for the scene? Tom tell you how he felt, and that's how you decided to put it through?
Well, all of the scenes in the film are kind of metaphors for lots of things that happen to the real person. Don't forget, we have a time span of 7 or 8 years that we're trying to put into 90 minutes. And in the interviews with Tom and Nicola Ray, they often talked about how Tom felt embarrassed at his looks and his disability, and that going to the supermarket was always a very difficult thing for him to do because it brought him into contact with people who hadn't seen him before, and not that they would be down on him, but they would just stare at him because he just looked odd. And they didn't understand why he looked odd or why. But this would just, inside, this would just tear him apart because he felt that. And so this scene, you know, the brief for this scene was that the little boy was just, you know, he was just staring at him because he was an interesting man to stare at. But for Tom himself, it was a trigger to his anger. And that was really the beginning, or the part of the beginning of his angry period, because he did, as a real person, he was very angry then, a very angry man. And he stopped taking his medication, and he started drinking. And so that was all part of that dark period, which, again, you couldn't really do that as well in a documentary, which is why I wanted to do that. You can talk about it in a documentary, but until you actually see it and see that anger and see that, you know, it's so much more powerful as a drama. So that's really how I felt about it.
How did Starfish come across this festival, and why did you accept to introduce your movie in this specific setting?
Well, Julian Agnes approached us, and then they said they would like to for us to open the festival, which was, you know, which was fantastic. And we make this film for people to see. And I think it's I you know, it's very important for me that it's in the context of how we wanted to make this film, or why we wanted to make this film. And it's not an easy film. It's you know, it's a difficult film. And so I'm, you know, all of us who worked on it, the producers, the cast, anybody, Tom and Nicola Ray, are happy to talk about it wherever we are invited to do so. If we can, one of us can get there, then we're delighted to talk about it, because it's the way we can explain a lot of the decisions that were taken. And it's, you know, if it was a straightforward mystery film or an action film, you know, perhaps it would be easier for an audience. But I think it's a film that, and we know, it's a film that people like to talk about, having seen it. They like to discuss it, and they find it, you know, they find it useful. And also the sepsis thing, the more we found out and the more we understood about sepsis, the film then became an important vehicle for people who didn't understand about sepsis to take this away, and we think it is doing an awful lot of good. Mm-hmm. I mean, people that have come to talk to us about it really, really have said this has opened my eyes to a condition that I didn't really know about. So for that, that's a good thing too.
Very good thing. Yeah. As a last question, we wanted to ask you why the title Starfish.
Originally, it was called something completely different, but nobody could remember what it was called. I called it Ghosts in Fog. Originally it was called Ghosts in Fog because it was about being invisible in a kind of a murky world, which is how he once described he felt, but nobody could remember that name. And they were all moaning at me about the name. And I was listening to a record, I was writing, doing some writing one day, and I was listening to a record by Anthony and the Johnsons called Cripple and the Starfish. And I listened to the lyrics of that, and I thought, well, that's interesting. So I started looking up starfish, and then I realized that they reinvent themselves in trauma, times of trauma. They grow their parts of their body back. And I thought, well, this is not really about growing parts of his body back, but it is growing himself back as a human being. So I thought it was an appropriate title. And it's easy to understand, and a lot of people liked it. And it was, you know, we all liked it. Somebody tried to change it, but everybody went on strike, so they wouldn't. So we kind of stuck with it, and everybody on the crew and the unit, and everybody liked it. And it sort of became a part of our family, the name Starfish. It's quite dear to all the people who worked on it. They like it.
So you added afterwards the story, Tom's
at that point when I changed it, that was when I'd always needed this idea that there would be this some kind of narrative that held the belief that Grace had, and there was a way of saying that what actually held him together was the faith of his little daughter that it would one day be okay again. And so I developed the starfish idea around that, and that became the story, because it, you know, it's easy to see that might be a children's story, and then the starfish idea and the present, and you know, and without it being too obvious, but at the end it gave me an opportunity to do something very beautiful at the end that would just say that there was hope, you know, and the idea that his daughter was always saying there will be a starfish in the water, there will be a starfish in the water, and that he puts the starfish in the water, and that's kind of ties it all together.
She puts salt.
Yeah, steals the salt. You know, but it was a nice. It made it to me feel a bit more like a film, you know, and to have this little kind of narrative going through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and something for people to talk again. And it was something nice that counterbalanced some of the darker parts of that. Yeah, That was it. And it became really important.
Well, thank you very much for this.
That was very interesting to listen.
Are you going tonight? Are you going to see it tonight?
Yes.
We actually work with the cinema, so we're gonna pass the subtitles and take care of it. So.
Is that subtitles live? Do you do the subtitles? No.
No, we just make sure the subtitles are right, are in sync and everything. So
that's a great moment.
Yeah. So people can listen.
But it was really interesting to work on the subtitle.
Yeah.
All the class were really.
How did you find the film surprising when you watched it the first time, or did you anticipate this? Did you know what the film was about when you were starting?
Not at all.
Clément Chevet told us that it wasn't such a funny movie.
Yeah,
so
yeah, she did.
We were made her help prepare to it, but. I like it actually, it was very good. There are scenes like I told you with Grace at the hospital, but I really like.
I really liked the scene when Tom just gets the operation and is standing on this wheelchair and has a bandage over his face. It was so powerful. All the whites, the white background, everything was incredibly well done.
That was, you know, again, that was to illustrate. It was a lot of scenes. You know, we had ideas. I mean, they used to do terrible things to him. They used to push him to the table, and he would have his breakfast in front of him. You know, the nurse would bring him to the table, and then she'd just walk off. And he has, what could he do? You know, and there would be food in front of him, and he would just sit. And there was, you know, it was like he was invisible. It was, some of the stuff was just terrible. And so, you know, but this one, and we tried out a few things, and then Clive said, oh, I got this really nice shot down the corridor, and I said, oh, well, let's just roll him in there and just leave him there and just see what happens. And then we just stuck him there. And there was no, that was not special effects. There was no, Tom sat on his legs, and, you know, because, again, you know, there was no vis effects in that. They said, how are you going to paint that? And I said, no, he liked it. So he just put a gown over it. We can't see his arms. We can't see his legs. He sits on his legs. And people won't even think about it. You know, this is, we'll just go with that. And he just sat there. And for me, the best scene in it, one of the most beautiful scenes in it, or not beautiful, but is when they're in bed and he's trying to make love to her. And that scene was just incredible to shoot. Yeah. Incredible. And we worked on that, and Tom Riley and Joe said, how are you planning to shoot this? Because, and I said, well, I just plan to shoot it as a single shot, not come in with a camera, the audience are just like voyeurs, we're just watching you from a single viewpoint. I'm not trying to say anything. And we'll just study your face. And we only did one take of it, and that was it. And you know, we looked at it, and I looked around at the crew, and they couldn't look at the monitor. They were all uncomfortable with what was, you know, and so we have actors acting, and yet the crew are really uncomfortable. Yeah. You know, you
that's
think, well, we know it. We've done it, you know, we don't need any more. We've so many great moments shooting it. It's fantastic to work on.
I work on the subtitle for the letter he sent to his father. And I like the way it's saying feels the silence, and his father just walk away. I find it really hard to see the relationship. He wants to talk again with his father, but his father just walk away from the frame at this very critical moment as well.
It's what it was, you know, we talked a lot about that, and. You know, at one point we were going to have him just throw the letter into the fireplace. He never came back. He never did anything. But we just thought, in the end, again, you know, people don't throw things in the fireplace. That would be like dramatic direction. You know, and this is a film all about real life. Mm. And in real life, he would just walk away and not come back and put the letter down and forget about it somewhere. You know, and it all of these small things would add up to one big thing, you know, would add up to a huge hurt. So. It was quite an experience to work on, and very very rewarding, and very very satisfying.
For us too.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.